put every level of work in imaginable to where he's the biggest name in the space and still works as much as anybody in the business at all times is working. But talking to these guys like you're a mob boss and they better watch what they say.
Nick Wright was great.
Yep.
I'll give him all the credit in the world. There's a lot of people who don't like Nick Wright, but Nick Wright is exactly, he is spot on that. You know, Stephen A. Smith talking like a mob boss. You don't know the people that I know, and they've got things that you don't want me to say out loud. Mm-hmm. Oh, Stephen A. Smith. This whole thing has really it's gotten kind of funny. At first, it was like concerning with just how much Jaylen Brown like was talking and how weird it was. And it was like all about like, you know, is he not happy being a Celtic? And now it's getting kind of funny because they're truly trying to do actionable things now. Like they're trying to turn this into a real debate. But it is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson here on WEEI. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. And on the Odyssey app, you can launch us a take grenade. Press that little microphone button there. But so Stephen A. Smith caught that stray from Nick Wright, where he was called a mob boss, and Stephen A. Smith, which, by the way, how many different places does Stephen A. Smith communicate now?
Oh, he's got eight shows. Yeah.
Like, he's got 17 yep. shows, mm-hmm. and like all of them but like one are online.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And one's like Stephen A. Smith after dark. And then there's like just like Stephen A. Smith just like addresses people who said things about Stephen A. Smith. I mean, it really is just he's omnipresent. God bless him. I think he just lives in this like room with a green screen and just continues to just
got to respect the hustle.
Listen, I will never knock Stephen A. Smith's hustle. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's successful for probably that reason amongst others. But he did respond to Nick Wright calling him a mob boss, which was pretty funny. And here's what he had to say.
So when one of my contemporaries tries to mention me as a mobster, that I'm coming across as a mobster, he knows better. You can, once you figure out who I'm talking about, you can gauge his motives. He should be ashamed of himself. But I'll leave it alone and let him hang out with his crew. And he knows that I know who they are. Okay? The point that I'm making is that it's not me being a mobster. It's me highlighting that we all, as reporters, have access to an abundance of information. You think I can't pick up the phone and call a beat writer that used to cover the Washington Wizards? You think I don't know who used to cover the team?
Always ask.
Now he's doing it to Nick. Right. Now he's like, I know who you run with. You don't want me to say who you run with. I mean, it's like it's the same thing with him.
I feel like when he got to that territory, when he started saying that about JB and now Nick, that it's gotten personal for him. Like he can't, I don't know, he's lost a little bit of his objectivity. I think this is like where he's kind of, I mean, when you're doing veiled threats, I mean, come on, bro. Like, settle down, Stephen A.
Right. At this point, it's just because now it sounds like he's got nothing. Then say it.
That's it.
You got something, say it.
This is why I was very excited about Jaylen's latest stream, because I think he's gaining higher ground here. Nick Wright is gaining popularity for what his take on Stephen A. Smith is the mob boss. Mm-hmm. So it seems like Jaylen, people are coming to his side on this. But then I was very let down, I'm sure you're going to get to this, about the follow-up from Jaylen on this Twitch stream. Like, he could have done, first of all, he hesitated to even bring it up. It was like very end of the stream. I don't even want to get into it, but here's my idea.
Oh, you're sure?
And it's just a horrible idea.
No, that's called the big market tease. You made everybody sit through the gibberish that you had beforehand to get to what everyone wanted to hear if you were listening, and that is the Stephen A. Smith rivalry. And here's what he had to say about that. You got it, Stiz?
Come on, Stephen A. It's you, El Chapo. You running the media cartel, my boy? Here's my proposal. Why don't we have a live audience debate? Traditional media versus us athletes. Let's do a live debate in front of a live streamed audience at a mutual location, like a Harvard or MIT. Let's talk about it and let's see who come out on top. Should be easy. Should be a piece of cake, you know? Mainstream traditional media versus the athlete. Let's set it up. Harvard, MIT, live, and let's see who come out on top. You know where to find me. You know where to contact my team. Set up a live debate at a mutual location, and let's talk about it. Traditional versus untraditional.
First of all, you've already done it, and it was mind-numbingly boring. Do you remember there, after the whole State Your Source thing where he was wearing the State Your Sorcerers on the duck boat, and then they ended up meeting up and talking. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? And it was like billed as, oh, my gosh, finally.
JB backed down, did he?
Oh, you want to hear what it sounded like? Because I was thinking about it. Because first when I heard that, I was just like, oh, well, this is going to suck. Because you know what it's going to be? It's going to be Jaylen Brown going, you know, you call yourself a journalist. And all Stephen A. Smith has to say is, no, I don't. I'm an entertainer. And then it's like, oh, but you're a journalist. And it's just going to be the worst. And Stephen A. Smith would kick his ass all over the place. But at least, like, you would have gotten some sort of, like, you know, intrigue, some drama. But then I remembered, oh, they've done this. They sat down after all that happened. And I remember it being mind-numbingly boring because Jaylen Brown backed off. Like, when he finally got... As many people do, you've seen this happen before. People will write things online and get all huffy about someone, but the minute they meet face to face, all of a sudden it's like, oh man, you're great.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're great. You're great.
All the time.
So if you want to hear what this big MIT meetup is going to sound like, we had a preview of it 2 years ago, and this is what it sounded like.
And I know you see the shirt.
That's right. State your source. State your source.
Yes.
Are we gonna get into all of that?
For sure.
No question.
And honestly, I wore this shirt because like. This is where I wanted to start the conversation.
Okay.
Get into it. And to be honest, you know.
Pull the mic closer to you, so I want to make sure the audience hears you. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I think it's deeper than rap. Mm-hmm. I think it's bigger than both you and I. Like, obviously, your credentials are through the roof, you know, covering AI to First Take being the number one show and now taking the world by storm with your new podcast.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's plugging his podcast.
I wore this shirt, but I honestly know. Just because of your credentials that you never going to reveal
your
sources because you abide by something called journalistic integrity.
Okay, right? Stop.
Oh, boy.
Dude, you just blew your own argument into the water.
Boy, you really took him down, bro.
It's going to suck if they meet up.
Jeez.
And you know what? If I'm Stephen A. Smith, I say absolutely let's meet up.
Let alone at Harvard or MIT. I mean, how about a bar or something fun? I mean, why are we going to MIT to do that?
Because it makes it sound like they're doing something smart when it's really just going to be, you know, you're really talented at your job.
and now taking the world by storm.
Everything I was criticizing you for. I'm completely contradicting because you have journalistic integrity, even though I was saying you call yourself a journalist, but you live by a code that journalists live by. I mean, it's so mind-numbingly boring and bad.
I tell you what, though, I could see if there was a moderator, a good moderator, I think I could see it being kind of a fascinating discussion if they were honest, if
like
it was raw and
debate.
Real. Just, no, like, right, yeah. Like,
but with F-bombs?
What's that?
With F-bombs, you can
right,
swear.
Right, but like real talk about like the relationship between athletes and reporters. I mean, not maybe just their personal thing, but just, you know, why athletes don't trust reporters. That kind of, I think it could be fascinating, quite honestly, if it had a moderator that was good at his job and you talked about things, why athletes don't trust reporters and that whole thing. I think
Jaylen would need athletes to speak on his behalf.
Like, yeah.
If he's really friends with Kevin Garnett and Kevin Garnett wants to speak about how lousy the mainstream media is.
Perk's
in the mainstream media, but I don't know. He should have a panel of athletes that want to go off on Stephen A. Smith. That would be good.
Jaylen is just good at backing off. Like, he'll speak like on his Twitch and say things, and then when it comes time to address it, he'll just... Like, remember the whole thing with... Remember he released that rap song that was called Just Do It, and because it was like I was a shot at Nike, and then you listen to the lyrics, and there's nothing about Nike mm-hmm. or nothing. It's like, oh, come on, man. If you're going to take Nike down, take Nike down.
Right.
You name the song Just Do It. He's one of these guys that just, you know, he loves people talking about him, but you heard it right there. He had a chance to go nuts on Stephen A. Smith, and what did he do?
Buttered him up.
First Take being the number one show.
Good man. Soft.
Your podcast taking the world by storm.
But on the stream, he was good. He was like...
Man, nobody gave a damn about no damn First Take.
He was at energy. He was dropping F-bombs.
And then he went face-to-face with Stephen A., and he cratered. That's exactly what's going to happen. And if it's at MIT, it's just going to be even more boring. Maybe if you, like, who would the moderator have to be?
I think it could be, I think there's potential. Something, yeah. Ernie Johnson.
Ernie Johnson.
Yeah, but Ernie Johnson.
But I don't think Ernie would, like, stoke their anger as much as it should be. Like, you really need someone who's like, so you think Stephen A. Smith is a total a-hole, don't you? Like, that's what you need.
Yeah.
I'm going to read you a quote that you said about him and just read the worst stuff so Stephen A. is sitting there. And Ernie Johnson wouldn't do it. Ernie Johnson's great. He's very good. But I don't think he would
I think there's potential for something there, though. I think it could be interesting. I do. I don't know. Well, with the right moderator and the right athletes and the right, you know, kind of media members, I think it could be – I would watch it.
Sure. I remember when Draymond Green went after Skip Bayless, and it was super funny because Draymond Green gave zero Fs. This is young Draymond Green. Remember, he was just like, I'm better at life than you, Skip. Like, you are awful, and I'm better at my life than you are at yours. And it was like, and Skip Bayless had no idea what to say. And Skip is like, watching him get flustered is kind of funny. See, that was great, but I just don't think Jalen's got the temperament for it.
No.
Nope, he does not.
But I do think now he's obviously not going to quit, so we'll have more of this. And the more it goes on, I do wonder if the Celtics are interested by these teams that have legitimate interest, according to Mark Stein, legitimate interest in trading for Jalen. He threw out Atlanta, you mentioned Houston, Portland, three-team trade. Even if Giannis doesn't work out, you move on to Kawhi or somebody else. They are going to be interested in hearing offers for Jalen.
So tell me, who has a team that's got a piece that's worth giving up Jaylen Brown for? I still haven't gotten a good answer for that. The Giannis one is the only one that makes a little bit of sense. Mm-hmm. But according to everyone we talked about, you got to give up more than Jalen to get Giannis.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. I don't want to. I would like Giannis to be here if it meant keeping Jalen Brown as well. It almost seems impossible. But honestly, tell me a piece that makes you go, yay, let's go, let's do it. That seems like a great deal to me.
Yeah, well, you talked about Sabonis in Sacramento. You would need more than that. You talked about the big man with Houston. Maybe Kawhi. I don't know. It's kind of redundant.
Keep Kawhi.
You would need that and many other pieces, and there'd have to be a financial element of it. You know, we're only going to pay Tatum the max, and we're going to get rid of Jalen and go spread the wealth rather than two major stars. I'm still Giannis. That's me.
So do you think that they would make some sort of deal that you would get in a guy like Sengun, right?
Sengun.
They would bring him in here from Houston, and that would save them some money, too. Do you think that maybe they would want to do something like that frees up some cash? Because I know that Scalabrine was saying
the slingshot.
The next year,
right,
they're basically setting up a slingshot so they can go all in on some other max player.
Right. And Jalen's giving them a little bit of an excuse for making the trade. His stock is probably lower than it has been among Celtics fans, generally. They hear some of this stuff, and they're like, I'm kind of out on this guy. We need to go in a different direction. So they could get away with it, right? Point is, the owners could say, we're going to get away with this trade and get less in salary, and we're going to use the scowl slingshot effect for 2 years down the road.
Well, I think, I'm not so sure fans would be cool with that. I think that would not look like an even trade to me. I know fans are kind of, you know, down on JB, but I don't think they want him traded.
It just depends what you get for him, you know, and the plan. You got to spell out the plan. Hey, we're going for it after next year. You know, you don't have to come out and say that.
Yeah. I don't see anything yet that makes me think that this is a good idea. I mean, if they said, hey, we're going to bring in a different coach, and be like, all right, maybe we've got something going here.
But do you think running it back, they're beating the Knicks, even in the East, let alone some of these teams in the West?
That team looks so effing good right now. They're really, 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 really good. And as I said, it's like the first time that I've thought that we might have a good finals. I mean, they're legit. They're legitimately good. They're not going to win, but they're legitimately good.
I don't know. Have they been tested? The Sixers, really? I don't know.
The Cavs were a good team.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But
they're still flawed.
But they're annihilating these teams. Like, it's not like they're just beating them. They're the Sixers. I get it, but the Cavs were a good team and they annihilated them, not just beat them.
Yeah.
So, well, we shall see. All right.
978 texture real quick. Would trade with Houston all day for Sengun and another player too. Absolutely. Rich, if the Jays stay together, they're not going to win anything, so why keep them together?
I mean, he might be right. As I said, I just wanted to see something different. And to be quite honest, that Houston one doesn't really make me angry. Like, if they did that, I'd be like, well, you better figure out how to use them right then. And you better be able to, you know, maybe get some more pieces, because that's not enough. Like, just bringing that trade as is not enough to beat the Knicks. But if that means it's going to give you more money to make another big move, and you could potentially load up, We'll see. That doesn't scare me away as some of the other as much as some of the other ones. All right, 617-779-7937. I want to ask you, Ted, about some NFL news that happened over the weekend that involves a potential huge amount of money that may be coming one Patriots way and whether or not the Patriots would go for it. We'll get to that right after this. It is Rich Certainly of Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. You can call us at 617-779-7937, just like Justin on line one. Justin, what's happening, my man?
Hey, gentlemen. Normally I call to rant and rave about how bad Craig Breslow is at his job, but I'm kind of apathetic at this point. So I wanted to ask you guys a question I genuinely do not know the answer to. So this team is really, really, really bad. We don't need to go through the metrics. They're going to be bad in August when I come up in vacation in the area. And the question is really simple. My nephew, I have no kids, so I have no point of reference here, but we're thinking about them. And my nephew really, really likes me. He's 10 years old. And this season he started to become a Red Sox fan. So I'm concerned. Do I bring him to Fenway Park, which is a magical place? It's truly a magical place when it's rocking, right?
Oh, sure.
It's loud. Fans are chanting. Do I bring him to Fenway Park? And risk the opposite, where it's going to be half empty. There's going to be guys without their shirts off screaming, sell the team. And it's going to be truly a terrible atmosphere because the economy's bad. So I'm asking, like, do we bring him to Fenway Park this year or do we wait until 2028 after the lockout and hope for a better experience?
Who knows? I mean, all I can say is that tickets are still freaking expensive. There, you know, if you do show up, there will possibly indeed still be a rash of half-naked men in the outfield unless that trend dies this week, which it could.
It can't get – there's nothing that could happen.
It can't get worse. Put it this way, it's really bad right now, and it's still fun going to the games. I know that kind of sucks, and I should be like, Mr. Boycott the team. But it's Fenway Park's kind of awesome.
Well, like tonight,
the Dodgers will be here in early August. So yeah, you go watch the Dodgers.
Right, go to see other good teams.
Yeah. If the weather's like tonight, no matter what is on the field, this is how John Henry has got you. It's just a great experience. You sit there at Fenway with an 80-degree day and just enjoy baseball.
Yeah,
have a beer.
Yeah,
you can't beat that.
Yeah, I know. He's scared. That's why. Is your kid scared of ghastly ghouls? Because there's one that haunts the owner's box. Ebenezer Scrooge.
Isn't that sad though? What jersey would you wear if you go to the game? I mean, who's a 10-year-old, who's he going to look to on this team and
check
go?
Check back in, like Scal said, check back next month.
Seriously, they don't even have a star.
Well, Roman's still going to be a star. Well,
plays.
What do you mean, nope?
Nope.
Bail on him now.
Yeah, you know what?
One thumb injury?
Finger? They should never, ever, everybody just pumping his tires.
He's
good. Do star-worthy type things before you are become a star?
He had a good WBC. Did you see him on that World Stage?
That's not Major League Baseball. It is, but it's not. You know what I mean? It's not the same.
Well, it's against major leaguers, a lot of them.
You know, I remember a couple years ago we were doing that with the Patriots. It was like, you know how like there's the picture of the player on the ticket when you get the season tickets? Like after you ran out of like three players after a while. It was like Mac Jones's last year. It's like, okay, it's Mac Jones. And then Jones. Who do you got on the ticket after that?
Contreras will be an all-star. He'll be their one all-star because he's legitimately.
I like Contreras.
He got here yesterday. Nobody knows Wilson Contreras.
That's the thing is, if you're selling, okay, Garrett Crochet, you could probably sell his jersey. That's one that, I would say that's a legitimate star.
And he's on the mend, threw a bullpen today.
Okay, but he's not playing. That's the thing is, he's still not out there. Roman Anthony, I kind of agree with you, Ted. He hasn't really done anything yet to prove that he's a star. I don't know if I'm investing in a jersey. He could be hurt the rest of the year. Peyton Tolley. Can you get me a Tolley jersey?
There you go.
And then bring the mustache back. All right, Ted. Hang on. What is this? Let's go to Brendan real quick. Brendan on line one. Might as well while we're taking calls. Brendan, what's happening, man? How you doing?
Hello, Brendan.
Hey, guys. Oh, Rich, I'm going to MGM Fenway tomorrow. I got a band for you. Electric Callboy.
Oh, hell yeah. Electric Callboy rules. Good call.
Yeah, tomorrow night in Boston.
Nice.
So I was going to say they should split up the Jays because they got close many years, but never won. And the only reason they won is because they had to overhaul the whole entire roster.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind them doing something that shakes things up. I'm at the point now where if they got rid of Jaylen Brown, as long as you got back a pretty decent return, that Rockets one, the more I think about it, the more I don't mind it. And it does free up some money, but they have to make another move after that. But that Knicks team, man, it's I like that the Knicks are so good right now because hopefully it's pissing off somebody in that front office.
That's a good point.
Who's got more talent, the Knicks or the Celtics?
Oh, my God, the Knicks. The Knicks.
Oh, hold on. Really? Okay, so how many?
Not elite talent, but
okay,
depth,
let's
depth,
talk this through. Depth, how many do the Celtics, JB and JT, are both, what, top 15
sure.
NBA players?
Yeah.
Where's Brunson?
Right. That's what I'm asking you. So where are their two stars? Who are their two stars?
Right? It's Brunson and Towns.
Okay, but would you trade Brunson and Towns for JB and JT? Would you want
see,
those
but,
guys?
But
over
I, the, but I also think that JB well, and JT are a little bit redundant. Well, whereas that Knicks team has good players at each of the important positions.
So my point is
Brunson was tier 2A and Towns tier 2B on this guy's multi-tiered list in the Athletic, you know, so you want to go with that?
I guess what I'm trying to say is that even though you get rid of JB, doesn't mean you're going to be a worse team. You could be overall a better team because it's whoever you bring in, Sengun or somebody,
yep.
Sabonis, it's just a better fit than JB and JT are not the best fit.
I agree. And that's one thing that the Knicks have done. They have got each position taken care of.
Yeah,
like that is a team.
Bridges, who they traded a haul for.
Yep.
Josh Hart, Anunoby, and McBride. That's a good six.
How about this? Who would you rather have on your team? Like if you were starting a team.
And Ben Robinson.
Would you rather have Jalen Brown or Brunson?
Oh, come on, Brunson. All day. You kidding me?
All day.
Same
all
2 years.
Oh, they're the same age. Are they both 29?
I don't know how Brunson. All I know is that are the Mavericks the worst run team in the history of basketball? At one point, they had Brunson and Luka on the same team, and they got rid of both of them.
Yeah, but you know what? I love Brunson is Brunson comes in and runs the offense, and JT becomes the two and just is an off guard.
Oh, sure.
Instead of being their offense running through JT, it's just Brunson to me. Even though he's not as good of a defender as JB. I think overall, he's a better player than JB, in my opinion.
You may not know this as a Celtics fan right now, but this is the best thing that could happen to the Celtics team. The way that they went out is the Knicks being dominant.
You think that'll just drive Brad Stevens crazy?
You he bet your ass. Knicks? As a matter of fact, you should be rooting for the Knicks to win. You should be rooting for them to win the whole thing.
But does he really hate the Knicks the way people around here do hate New Yorkers?
They're sitting in the division. Absolutely. You got to do something to compete or you are toast for the long run. Because that team is good. And
I'm pissed.
Thank you very much. As I said, if your team gets bounced, you should root for somebody in your own division to dominate. And that way it puts a fire under your ass.
So you're rooting Canadians, Montreal, if they go to the Cup Finals.
Absolutely. There's not even a question, although it's tough for me to root for the Canadians. But I think that it's better for the Bruins that the Canadians win. There's no question.
You look at that team, too. Just they've hit on a bunch of draft picks over the last 5 years. The Bruins, I guess finally they had a good draft last year. But before that, they had 5 years of just no prospects. They got nobody in the pipeline. That's what sucks about the Red Sox, too. Other than Roman and Meyer, it's like, who else is coming up this year? You're a year away from any more help coming.
Oh, jeez. Yep. Thanks, Ken. You want to kick my dog while you're here? Jeez. That's depressing.
It's a draft. But it's gotta hit the draft.
But yeah, you do.
But it's true. You understand what I'm saying, right? Like, Celtics fans should be rooting for the Knicks to dominate and win the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Because you just got embarrassed. In your own division, you got a team that is absolutely on fire. And just what they've done to teams, they've embarrassed these teams, and you're going to have to play those guys a lot. So you better do something to beef up your team. You better do something drastic, better do something big, and you better have a plan.
I'm surprised you're so down on Giannis. I mean, now the market for him is all over the place. Oklahoma City, 16%. Brooklyn is in the mix. Cleveland now is going to go after Giannis, apparently. So Boston,
that's actually not a bad move.
That makes more sense.
Hell yeah, I would do that if I was Cleveland. You bet your ass.
Lakers, I don't know how they'd pull it off, and obviously Miami's in the mix too. But so there'll be a lot of competition for him now.
Lakers is interesting because I can't see LeBron just sticking around L.A.
Well, if they get Giannis, he probably would.
That's what I'm saying. So the plan is they're trying to bring in guys to beef up the team for him.
Yep.
I mean, I guess, and Luka would be healthy. Sure. Oh my gosh. I mean, yeah, Luka and Giannis and LeBron on the same team.
By the way, Shams just reporting. Kenny Atkinson is back as coach of the Cavs. They're going to keep him around. That's amazing.
That was a fireable offense.
That really was.
When he said, you know, analytically, we won two out of three.
You know what's crazy, though?
Let alone game one.
You say that, but owners of these teams, they all think analytically, too. I mean, owners,
right.
they're the big data-driven people themselves. So I bet you Kenny Atkinson says that to the owner, and the owner goes, oh, yeah, you're right. I mean,
And Windhorst said they're going to sign James Harden to a long-term deal. They're redoing his contract, and they're bringing him back. What is happening?
They love pain. You know what? It's wild. There was a rant that I don't know what sportscaster this was, but this is when Harden was out in L.A., and he just went on this huge rant about how every place Harden has gone and every place Harden has played, he has blamed somebody other than himself. And it just, I mean, that's all he does is he just goes team after team after team after team, and you hear stories about him not taking the team playing home and going out to the, you know, clubs and meeting the team later on and being the last one to get on the team playing when they do leave and just kind of treating the regular season as if it's just you sleepwalk through it as long as you get to the postseason. But then once you're in the postseason, you dog it and you don't get back on defense after launching up threes after threes after threes like you did last night.
Just because genuinely I do feel like we are the better team.
Yes, you were the better team when you just gave up in that first half last night. Yeah, I can't. If they sign him to a long term deal,
it's done. Windhorst said it. I mean, he's not wrong.
Then you should be happy. Now that you should be happy as a Celtics fan. Hell yeah! Mm-hmm. Lock yourself into a dumb coach and a bad player who always dogs it. I'm cool with that.
Yep.
Meanwhile,
so, that takes LeBron out of the running. Then
I don't know about that.
LeBron ain't playing with Harden.
He's not.
No. Nope. No. He knows a loser when he sees it. Well, the one thing you could say about LeBron is he has tied himself to pretty decent hard playing guys. Like, I mean, think about, you know, Dwayne Wade, he was, Bosch was a hard player. And then, you know, when he went out to LA,
Anthony Davis,
maybe not Anthony Davis. Maybe my theory isn't quite fleshed out as much as I wanted it to be, but there's no way he would play with a loser like James Harden. Yeah. James Harden just, he stinks of just someone who doesn't, it's like a loser mentality. It's like, do you remember Dwight Howard?
Oh, they played together in Houston.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. So Dwight,
that was painful.
I always thought with Dwight Howard, he was somebody who would never win a championship. I think he ended up like winning one in the COVID year with the Lakers, but he wasn't a part of it. But I just remember like every team he was on, he just had this like a culture of losing. It never seemed to work out. And then I just feel that with James Harden. He just always blames other people. I wouldn't want to play with a guy either.
Do you think the morning show was talking about this, like best player currently to never have won a title, and Aaron Judge was thrown out? Do you think it's fair to already throw that on Judge?
In all sports?
All sports. Who's the current? Like
best to never
Phil win. Nicholson, who hasn't. Best to have not won one.
There's got to be an NFL player out there.
Yeah, well, Josh Allen. I guess Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
Yeah, definitely Josh territory. Allen.
Josh Allen in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even Burrow. But
Burrow too. Yep.
Josh Allen's better than Burrow though. I don't think Burrow deserves a win. He hasn't been playing long enough to say that about him.
Judge is 34. It's hard to believe he's, you know, as good as this. A lot of pressure on them.
It's tough.
See, take that, Yankees. A lot of pressure this year.
Maybe like in the NBA. I mean, Luka possibly. I don't know. There's really nobody. There's no Barkley. You know what I mean? Like a Barkley or a Marino. Where you're just like, geez, man, they were dominant, and somehow they haven't won. I can't really say that about anybody.
Maybe
in the
Donovan
NBA.
Mitchell. I don't know.
But I don't think of him the way we thought of Marino. You know what I mean?
But Harden, well, Mike Trout, I guess he's been around for a long
time. That's a given. Yeah. What about NHL? Because
for the longest time it was Ovechkin until he won.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Connor McDavid, I guess. Edmonton's.
Sure.
There you go.
Yeah, I guess Connor McDavid. Yeah, you can say that. All right. So real quick, Ted, how quickly the NFL changes. It was only 7 years ago. It was 2019.
That?
When a certain Tom Brady was asking for 2 years.
Just
$50 million. $50
million. That's $25 million, you know, if you do the math. 25 a year.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, this wasn't anything groundbreaking because Drew Brees had just gotten that exact same deal. That was the farewell tour deal.
Yeah.
You're playing for two more years. That's going to be it. And the Saints didn't even put up a fight. They went, Drew, you got it. We want you to go out. This is your team. We don't want you to ever go play for another team. Absolutely. That sounds like a fair deal. And so what did Tom Brady do? He said, well, if Drew Brees has got that, I'm not going to be greedy. Even though I am the franchise, I'm going to ask for the same thing. And you remember when he was standing there in that interview and they were talking to him and he goes, hey, you can go talk to Mr. Kraft about that.
Yep, I'll never forget.
Yep, and then it all fell through and they wouldn't give him a mere $25 million a
year. Talk to Mr. Kraft, come on.
Come on.
That's it, you had that ready to go. Very good. Excellent, well done. And then what happens this past weekend? 7 years later, Matthew Stafford signs a one-year contract extension worth $55 million. As much as Tom Brady wanted, more than what Tom Brady wanted for 2 years, he got it for one. And that is only a seven-year difference, and the NFL has already changed that much. So when you look at Stafford getting that for 1 year.
And by the way, he can make up to 60 with incentives.
Oh, I mean, sure.
So,
and by the way, that's a good team, so he could end up making those incentives.
I got a number. Go ahead. Keep going.
What do you think Drake May is going to be worth?
$650 to $700 million.
Ooh.
So that averages out
to
be
for that long, like a 10-year deal.
Why wouldn't you? Don't you think how the Kansas City Chiefs did it with Patrick Mahomes?
10 for 450. Yeah.
And you kind of tweak it as you go, as you need, you know, I mean, doesn't that look like a pretty good deal that they signed to him?
So $45 million a year. That was 6 years ago.
Is it a risk to do a 10-year deal on a guy like on a Drake May, if we think he's going to be trending in like he is right now? I can't. To me, that would be the way to go. Mm. So that, you know, $65 million a year for 10 years is $650 million.
Drake might not want to do that, right? Because can argue that Mahomes probably should be cashing in again right now.
That's fair. You might be right. Yeah.
And maybe they agreed that they would do that, that they would renegotiate in good faith. I don't know.
That would be awesome if Drake's Mahomes like, nah, you know what? Can we just do
just be a few one years
at it? Yeah. Let's just go 1 year at a time here.
But the real question, though, is that how much guaranteed money will he get? Because they've got these new contracts that, I mean, who was the one who got the first fully guaranteed contract? It was I know that Josh Allen.
Cousins did.
Cousins, that's right. Yep. Cousins got a big one. And I know that
Allen got $250 million guaranteed.
He got $250 guaranteed. And that's the real number, isn't it, Ted? Isn't it the guaranteed money that everyone's going after?
But for that position, there's pretty much guarantee he's going to live the life of the contract. So, or other positions, not so much. But yes, the number you really want to get up guaranteed is obviously just the guaranteed. It's like in that position, though, it's more guaranteed than any other position. So, what are we talking? We're talking $400 million guaranteed.
I bet if Josh Allen 2 years ago got $250 guaranteed,
$400,
he might get four.
We're talking not next summer, but the summer after. So 2 more years. The TV deals are going in crazy. What I mean, the salary cap's over $300 million.
So Ted, you have two instances coming up where the Patriots, of all people, who aren't known for doing this, could set the market. Christian Gonzalez. This year, he's going to have to set the market.
I can't wait.
I'm worried about them signing Gonzalez.
I can't wait.
Do you think there's a chance it won't happen because of the Drake deal?
I think there's a potential that.
Ooh,
you got A.J. Brown here. What are you paying A.J.? $30 million?
Yeah.
So they've never done it. They've never come close to doing that where they got to pay three big deals, A.J. Brown, Christian Gonzalez, Drake May. They've never done it.
If you're Christian Gonzalez and they don't come to a deal before the season starts, what do you do?
Dude, there's serious. I mean, I have to seriously think about not showing up. Kind of like a Logan Mankins kind of deal.
How many weeks in did Logan Mankins finally get it? 10. Jeez, man.
10 weeks. Then they traded his ass.
Well, right? They should have drafted a corner higher, right? They took Prunty in the fifth round. If they knew this was developing behind the scenes and they were having debates about whether to sign Gonzalez, you should have taken a guy second or third round.
Because Ted's right.
But
the Patriots don't set the market, and they're going to have to do it twice. Mm-hmm.
That's why I can't hurry up. I want to get to that. I want to see how they handle it. Because they just never. But I can't imagine. Like, there's going to be so much pressure from the fan base. Everybody knows there's no secret. We know the cap is crap, so you can't sell us on, hey, you know, the guy's got to take less so that you can build a bigger. No. You can pay guys.
Yep.
And so the you know, it's out there. We all know. You can't fool us. And so how did the Crafts respond to that? I can't wait to see what happens.
Man, it's going to be, that is going to be wild. If he sits out, geez, man.
I mean, someone say he maybe should sit out training camp,
now,
OTAs.
Now, could Marcus Jones step up for like a 8-week stretch and be a good corner?
Serviceable.
Like good, at least, you know, wouldn't cost you games or no. That would just, the trickle down effect there would be horrible.
God bless him. I mean, he had such great coverage on all those, you know, Drake London touchdowns they caught again. I mean, he can only do so much.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
size-wise.
He's right. You definitely take a step back. If you have him covering X receivers, that's, you don't want to live and die by that. No. Mm-mm. Nope.
Because Carlton Davis is good, but I don't think you put him. Did you put him above average? You didn't put many above average.
Carlton Davis is above average.
Okay, so they have one above average corner and a
They have a really their two corners and their slot corner are very good.
But if you lose Gonzalez, that changes everything.
Better
hope the rookie's really good.
Man, just everything. Get boy, it's so funny.
So he's got leverage, man.
It didn't even hit me until now that they are going to have to set the market twice. Like I mean, because there's no way Drake's going to take anything less than what's already been out there, because Drake already has proven he's an elite quarterback, and the Christian Gonzalez thing is sitting right here. You can't sign him without making him the highest paid at his position. So get ready.
Which the Rams currently have done, right? McDuffie is their corner. He's making $31 million. Yep. They just signed Stafford.
Yeah,
so there's already evidence in the NFL you can have this.
Yes, but the Crafts don't do this. Right. They don't do this.
Including paying him, you know, a lot of money.
To do, and getting nothing in return. Did he say something like that?
Right.
Oh, God, all the shots that he took. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls next. Is it Teddy J pick too? Not yours? Oh, is it Cam? Oh, of course.
There we go.
That should be a game, though. Like, Rich has to guess not only the song and title, but who picked said song.
Van Halen, is this Little Guitars?
Nope. Where Have All the Good Times Gone?
Oh, that's right.
And a little behind the curtain here, our little stiz here thought that Ken said, "Where Have All the Good Vampires Gone?" And he looked it up like a song.
That is not a song by Van Halen.
That could be. Could be by Diamond Dave right about now.
Did you see that? I guess he was in town this weekend. All right. Have you heard David Lee Roth lately?
He's damaging his legacy. He's really, it's disturbing.
He's not damaging his legacy because everyone knows how bad he is.
This is like Brady currently.
He's like,
they're really the same person.
It's like really, really bad.
He's not worse than Vince Neil, though.
Well, Vince Neil just doesn't even sing anymore. He's got like a recording of his thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking of going to see them.
It sounds that bad, then he's still singing.
Years ago, when the band I was in got signed to a management company, the very first tour they put us on was Vince Neil. Now, we sounded nothing like Vince Neil, but it was a tour, and it was in the Midwest, a place we had never gone before. So I was like, hell yeah! And in the Midwest at that time, rock and roll still like hair rock was huge. We're playing like Detroit and Chicago and stuff like that. And Vince Neil, I was excited because I was a Motley Crue fan. And I was like, oh, this is cool. We get to open up for Vince Neil. First of all, the people had no idea. We sounded like the, you know, Helmet or the Deftones or something like that. And then he was hair metal. So the crowd was a little different. Mm. But, I was like, how great is this? After we're done, we get to kind of hang out and have a little bit of a party. But, yeah. You know, Motley Crue music is the soundtrack. The very first night he gets up on stage and, like, within 30 seconds, he's doing, hey, you sing it. And he put the microphone out of the crowd. He, like, was singing. Dr. Field would be like, Rat, did you sing it? You sing it. And he couldn't get through it. And I remember one night he had
That was sex tape era Vince Neil. He was tired, you know?
He was just a big man. But he had a set list of 15 songs, and one night he stopped at 7. He went off stage after 7 songs.
What do you expect? 7 good songs? That'll get you through.
Well, there was one time that during sound check, it was in Chicago, and it was right next to one of his favorite strip clubs, and he went next door, and I guess part of the deal was that the place we were playing would pay his strip club bill.
Nice.
So he went over there, and we got done playing our set, and they were looking for Vince, and no one could find Vince Neil. It's like, where's Vince? And they're like, I think he might still be over at the strip club. So the tour manager has to go over, and sure enough, in this back room, he's got like 6 girls back there, and he's wasted. Wow. Absolutely blasted.
Sounds like a Belushi story.
He's been there all day, and they finally fish him out, and as they're bringing him out, he says to the tour manager and goes, oh, can you go back in there? I left my Rolex with one of the girls. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. And he goes, which one was it? I don't know, the one with the big things. And he goes, okay. So like, Vince gets on stage and literally makes it for 4 songs and has to stop after 4 songs. And that dude had to go back in and try to get the Rolex back and never got it. And apparently his strip club bill was $11,000 that day.
Ted shaking his head. Yeah,
I've been there.
Have you ever lost control and just been like, wow, that's how much it was?
Yep.
Whoa, oh my God.
Yeah, of course.
What would you say was the biggest deal, the biggest bill that you've ever racked up?
5.
5. Ooh.
Bad night.
Really? That's not that bad, though.
$5,000?
I mean, I don't know. That's not that bad.
You just, Yeah, it's just I used to happen to live right around the corner from it too. You know, that was the problem. And it's like, do I go? Don't go. You just find yourself there, and then you just you wake up the next morning. What was I thinking?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, $5,000, and that was in that wasn't in a place like New York or Vegas.
No.
You know, where like they're really charging a lot of money. That's a lot.
Seems like a
spearmint rhino.
That gets you.
When my band went on tour, our singer spent literally every cent in his pocket at the clubhouse in Dallas. Vinny Paul's.
I think Baby Dolls is Vinny Paul's one that's out there. Baby Dolls, I believe. Yeah, I think that's the one that
Madonna
and all the members of the Dallas Stars used to go after they won the Stanley Cup. And they just like tore that place apart. I know that was always the rumors. But
every cent in his pocket was gone.
I bet. All right. Well, we can't even get to what we were going to get to, which was probably. Oh, by the way, do you have David Lee? Where is this from, Stiz?
No, don't do this.
This is Fenway over the weekend, Rich.
Okay. This is David Lee Roth. All right. Let's take a listen to see how David Lee Roth is doing. This is from a show. I know that trick. The backup singers try to get him on the track there. Oh, jeez.
Oh, it's worse. Stop that. Please.
I already hear this note.
It's worse.
I mean, oh, yeah, the note. Okay.
In his defense, he's unintelligible on the original track recordings as well.
Well, they released a live album that was like live from Japan, and the live album was awful. Like they didn't even clean it up in the studio. It came out when, remember they reunited and David Lee Roth was the singer for them for a little bit for Van Halen. And I remember getting the actual CD and being like, oh my God, they didn't. This is exactly what it sounded like. Apparently, they didn't even put any effort into this in the studio and clean any of it up.
Springsteen sounded good from the clips I saw.
I have not checked my baseball writers' Twitter accounts to see how it was. Anybody check on Sean McAdam and see whether or not he tweeted about it?
Scott McLaughlin was like third row. I don't know.
Our hockey writer was up there.
Oh, of course. Of course. A lot of snapping at that concert.
Did Greg go, Ken?
Snaps. I don't think so.
Wow. Greg, big Bruce fan, Rich.
Yeah. Oh, really? A hot take, Seeger is a better Bruce Springsteen than Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, but Seeger's been retired for how long? I mean, he's just not around anymore.
He's
not relevant.
Bob Seeger did Bruce Springsteen better than Bruce Springsteen did. I'll take Bob Seeger over Springsteen any single day of the week. Hot take right here on WEEI. All right, we'll be right back.